Chapter number 13, Rahugana converses with Jagbharat. Text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tantan Vipanan Sa Hi Tatra Tatra Mahaya Jatam Parigraya Saarta Amartate Adya Api Na Kaschit Atra Vira Advana Param Upaiti Yogam Tamstam Vipannam Sahitatra Tatra Vahaya Jatam Parigraya Sarta Avartate Japina Kashchiratra Viradvana Param Upaiti Yogam Tamstam Vipannam Sahitatra Tatra Vihaya datam parigra sarta Amvartate japina kashtiratra Viradvana param paiti yogam
Viradvana
Hastam vipannam sahitatra tatra. Vihaya jatam parigya sattva. Avartate yati nakashti ratra. Yantana bhavam upaiti yogam. Tan tan. All of them, vipannam, embarrassed in various ways. So, the living being, he certainly, tatra tatra, here and there, vihaya, giving up, jatam, those who were newly born. Parigriya, taking sa'artha, the living being searching for his own interest. Avartate, wanders in this forest. Adyapi, even until now. Na, not kashchit. Any of them, atra, here in this forest, vira, O hero, advana, of the path of material life, param, the ultimate end, upaiti, gets, yoga, the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, on the forest path of material life, first a person is bereft of his father and mother, and after their death he becomes attached to his newly born children. In this way he wanders on the path of material progress and is eventually embarrassed. Nonetheless, no one knows how to get out of this, even up to the moment of death. Purport. In this material world, family life is an institution of sex. Yan maitanadi grihamedi sukham. Bhagavatam 7:9:45. Through sex, the father and mother beget children. And the children get married and go down the same path of sexual life. After the death of the father and mother, the children get married and beget their own children. Thus, generation after generation, these things go on in the same way without anyone's attaining liberation from the embarrassment of material life. No one accepts the spiritual progress, the spiritual processes of knowledge and renunciation, which end in bhakti yoga. Although human life is meant for jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation, actually, through these one can attain the platform of devotional service. Unfortunately, people in this age avoid the association of liberated people, sadhu sangha, and continue in their stereotype way of family life. Thus they are embarrassed by the exchange of money and sex.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaranatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vajijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shimishakan Vitamsha
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutave Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshataninay. Two words jumped out of the purport at me. Embarrassed and stereotyped. So it's very embarrassing actually to be a stereotyped being. We're not meant to be stereotyped. Actually, they say that we are stereotyped. We're a cult. That's what they say about us. We're stereotyped cult members. But actually, that's not true. By coming to Krishna consciousness, we are coming back to our original true nature as individuals in relationship with the supreme individual. It's not that we're blindly following some pathway, you see. The criticisms they make of us actually reflect back on them. They are the ones that are actually stereotyped cult members. This is the cult, the sex cult described here, you see. Your parents had sex, they got you, now you have sex, and you get your kids, they have sex, and they get their kids, and it goes on generation after generation. It's a sex cult. But we get out of that sex cult. Even if we're house owners, we're very restrictive. Sex is only for procreation, not for recreation. They find that unbelievable. I mean, how you can live without sex? But actually, we live very nicely without sex. Because sex is simply a headache. Simply headache. Trying to arrange for sex enjoyment. They make so many arrangements for sex enjoyment, and they're never satisfied. We are also interested in sex enjoyment, but not our sex enjoyment. The sex enjoyment of Radha and Krishna. That is sex we're very interested in. Radha Krishna. That loving exchange between Radharani and Krishna. That we're very interested in. But for ourselves, we're happy just to serve their sex enjoyment. How they can be happy in their loving relationship. That satisfies us. So when they question, well, how does that really work? I mean, how you can be satisfied by somebody else's enjoyment? I mean, you're not enjoying and they're enjoying. How you can enjoy when somebody else is getting the enjoyment? Well, that brings us back to the old traditional example of the body, you see. The stomach is the enjoyer. All that food. Stomach is to chop it, you know, digestion. And the other parts of the body, they're just serving that stomach. My hand may think, well, why should I serve the stomach? It's actually an example in this connection. One time, all the bodily parts got together and they said, what is this nonsense? Here we are just serving the stomach. It doesn't do anything, sit there and enjoy, and we're working so hard to satisfy it. Let's go on strike. You see, they formed a union. They had their picket signs, you know. Don't feed the stomach, don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a fascist pig. Don't feed the stomach. You see, they were chanting their mantras in their demonstration. Very fired up. A strike was going on. The first day with great energy and enthusiasm. But the second day, for some strange reason, they were losing their energy, their enthusiasm. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. But the third day was like, don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. I think we better call another meeting of the union. So they call off a strike, they realize, hey, we can't handle this. You know? We really have to, somehow or another, we have to feed the stomach. And his enjoyment is our enjoyment. So actually, it's like this. You try to enjoy separately, you're just cutting your own throat, Prabhu. You're just cutting your own throat. If you want to enjoy, you've got to satisfy Krishna. And when you satisfy Krishna, you become satisfied, Krishna becomes satisfied, everyone becomes satisfied. This Krishna consciousness movement is the secret of how the entire world can become satisfied and happy. Such a simple formula. But they're so caught up in their embarrassing stereotype sex cult that they can't rock it. They can't understand it, is it? They're blinded by this thing. Everywhere you go, the billboards, you know, the movies, the advertisements, everything is sex, 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 sex. But actually it's disgusting. It's really a disgusting thing, you see. You're reading yesterday in the Bhagavatam, it's simply about a blood bond, urine, and stool. But they glamorize it. Oh, Romeo, oh, Juliet. Oh. It's just a fact. Just a fact. Blood, bone, stool, and urine. If I said, hey, here's a bag of blood, stool, bone, and urine, go and enjoy it. Here is a nice big bag of blood, bone, stool, and urine. Now have a good time tonight with this bag of blood, bone, stool, and urine. You see? That's what their whole life is based on. See? It's madness. It's insanity. It's illusion. It's absolutely crazy. And they think we're nuts. There's that famous essay in a Papa, who is crazy? They say that we're crazy, and we say that they're crazy. So now we settle up who's actually crazy. But actually, they're serving this bag of blood, bone, stool, and urine as the satisfaction of this blood, bone, stool, and urine is their platform of happiness. Proves that they're crazy. Proves they're completely nuts, you see. So our happiness is to connect with that amazing person. I mean, really amazing person. Anganiya shishakalindriya vritti manti pasyanti kampanti sa. When is that? Ananda chinmaya sadurvila vigrahasya. That amazing person. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. I mean, show me anybody in this world who's full of dazzling splendor, you see. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Any one of Krishna's limbs is seeing, maintaining, and manifesting infinite universes, spiritual and mundane. Show me any beautiful girl who can do that, or handsome-looking guy who can do that. With their hand, they can manifest infinite universes. Now that's an amazing form, you see. That's an amazing form. That's a really beautiful. I mean, when you talk about good looking, there's really, you've got to talk about Krishna, really. Everyone, all the so-called good lookings in this world, is a joke. When we talk about good looking, we've got to think about Krishna. He's really good looking. He's really, really, really good looking. Krishna. He's so beautiful. And he's so unbelievably beautiful. Incredibly beautiful. His qualities, his activities, his character, everything about him is just inconceivably sublime. Bharhavitam samatitam vidasungaram vankam tarvakotikamani visheshasho govindamani purusham tamahajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, head decked with peacock's feather, with a figure of beauty, chin with the hue of blue clouds, and whose meek loveliness is charming millions of cupids. I mean, we're talking about a really amazing musician here. When he plays that flute, I mean, there's no comparison. Here in the material world, we think, well, you know, this musician is pretty good, the Beatles are pretty good, or this musician is pretty good, but tell you, go to the zoo and play a Beatle album for the animals and see what they do. Do they get all excited about it? If Krishna plays his flute, everyone goes into complete ecstasy. The deer, the butterflies, the gopis, the gopas, the cows, the calves. Everyone is completely enchanted and spellbound by the most beautiful Natarian music flowing from the flute of Krishna, you see. So no one can play music like that. No one can make music like Krishna makes music. So in every way, everything about him, you see. The way he has loving relationships with the gopis, the cows, the calves. There's no one that compares with him. Nobody has that quality of loving relationship. If you really want to know what love is, there's only one way you can do it. You have to give your love to Krishna. Otherwise, you're being cheated by the material energy. You can only know what is love when you give your love to Krishna. And there you will find amazing, unlimited satisfaction. Beyond your wildest dreams, the most sweetest happiness, the sweetest, most unbelievably tender happiness is tasted in loving relationship with Krishna. So the pleasure that they get from sex life, what did Jamunacharya say? I spit. Simply spit at him. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, relishing what? Nava rasa, in that wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Yadavati mama jaita Krishna padara dindi nava nava rasa dam yatya bandhum nasa tadavati patanadi sangame smayamani Abhatinu kushushtu nishtivanam cha. Ever since I got engaged in writing Krishna service, you see, I forgot about all my kingly pleasure as a king, that harem, you see. And now if the idea of thought ever, if the idea of sex ever, you know, enters my brain somehow or other, I just, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought, you see. So that's not artificial. That's real. You see. The devotee of the Lord is actually tasting something so sublime, so sweet, so nectarian, that there's nothing that compares with it. You can offer a devotee the post of Brahman, and he's not attracted to him, you see. Simply, I want Krishna service, and nothing but Krishna service. You see, for all eternity, Gopi Bharata Upada Kamalaya Dasa, Dasa, Dasa. Bhagavan be the servant of 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 the Vaishnava. That is my perfection. Let me just be the dog of my spiritual master. Let me just be an insect in the house of the Vaishnava, you see. That is my perfection. I don't need anything else. Just give me a little prasadam, a place to lie down at night, and unlimited service. That's all I need. You see, that is Vaishnava. They are very interested in this family life. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, you can't have that pleasure of family life. Of course, one can be a grihastha. But if you're a sannyasi or a brahmachari, you can't have any pleasure of family life. No, we have the best family. We have the best family life. Actually, Prabhupada explains that one of the principles of surrender is to become a part of the spiritual family. So, we are the Prabhupada family, the Chaitanya family. And by entering into this family, we get unlimited satisfaction. The sweet, loving relationships, they just get sweeter and sweeter. I've been here for a few days associating with some devotees in this wonderful leadership seminar. Pulanma Maharaj and Amitman were so nicely guiding us how we can function as spiritual leaders in our society. And there's so many wonderful, sweet, loving relationships that are developing just by going to this seminar together, you see. And now we have the wonderful leadership, the ILS coming up, the leadership sangha. It's churning the ocean of Vaishnava sangha, that more and more nectar just comes oozing out from that sangha to inundate the entire universe in Krishna prema, you see. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to be here in Mayapur. Prabhupada said that this is his place of worship. To come here and worship in Prabhupada's place of worship, what could be more enlivening? What could be more thrilling? What could be more satisfying? What could be more purifying? What could be more edifying? More enlightening? More... You can go on and on in unlimited words pulled out of the dictionary and describe the glories of being here in Mayapur and worshipping Radha Madhava and Panchatattva and the association of such a wonderful, ever-expanding spiritual family which will, according to Krishna Das Kaviraj, will actually inundate and drown a whole universe. Such jana darjana pandu jata anagana premanvanyaya duvaya yogatera jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is prema tsunami. And it will inundate the entire universe, drowning everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're Sajjana, a pious man, you're Durjana, a Jagai Madai type character, whether you're blind, invalid, whatever you may be, you see, dumb, whatever you may be, this movement's going to get you sooner or later, you see. Of course, how much we will see in our lifetime? We're seeing an amazing thing since that day in 1965 when Prabhupada arrived in America. I remember when we joined back in I joined in 71. This is just inconceivable. What we're seeing now is inconceivable. It was inconceivable in those days. What we're seeing now and what the future holds, that is also inconceivable. Actually, I did a mathematical calculation one time. If every devotee makes two devotees, and makes two devotees, and makes two devotees, and very soon the entire world, human population, will be Krishna conscious. Mathematically, it's very... That wouldn't take... It just takes every devotee to make two devotees, and makes two devotees, and make two devotees. All we have to do. The body is big if you make 20 or 30. If every devotee can make two devotees and make two devotees and make two devotees, then very quickly this movement will completely capture the entire human civilization. So it's very encouraging to see this amazing wonder of the world coming up here. I remember when it first came out back, I forget what year, back in the 70s, Prabhupada's vision, and they did the cornerstone. Manifest here in Mayapur. I just can't imagine the impact it's going to have on the world once it's completed. I just can't imagine what kind of impact it's going to have on the human society. But we have exciting things coming. Very exciting days ahead for our... as this temple is completed, it's just, it's amazing what's going on right now. So, how fortunate we are to be here with Prabhupada, with Radhamadava, Panchatattva, and all the Prabhupada Nugas here. This is the greatest good fortune. It's actually good as being back in Goloka Vrindavan. If we take it properly in the right mood, you see, of service, it's as good, it's non-different from being in Goloka Vrindavan. Being there with all the coward boys and the coward girls, actually, it's non-different if we're in the right mood of service. So, maybe somebody else. Hello, you.
In by 8:45 a.m.,
so we got about 10 minutes left. Sankirtan, where are you? He's my hearing aid. Hear the questions. Any questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for your wonderful class.
Thank you for your wonderful listening. You inspired me.
Well, you're speaking about the mood of service. How can we cultivate this? We have a wonderful association of devotees.
Yeah.
We want to take advantage of that and grow in spiritual life and help ourselves and help others.
Yeah.
So what should be the state of our consciousness in order that we can take maximum advantage of this association of devotees?
What a wonderful question. Kijai. How can we take advantage of this association to get the maximum benefit? Well, one thing we have to remember is actually these devotees are worshipable. Narottam Das Thakur has very nicely given that prayer. Anandima, anansi, anandimala, anjavindavan, Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayam. Ecstatically chant the holy name. Worship the holy Vrindavan Dham. Always meditate on the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So, actually, every Vaishnava is worshipable. Whether it's a young devotee, an older devotee, every devotee of Lord Chaitanya, what do we say? Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Here's the Gaura Bhakta Vrindas, you see? These are the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And we worship them. Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. You see? We worship them. So always remember, these are not ordinary people. These are Lord Chaitanya's devotees. They are not ordinary people of this world. They are great transcendentalists, either realized or in the process of being realized. You see? And maybe ripened mangoes or green mangoes, but they're all mangoes. So I have to see them in great transcendentalists. And I have to realize that I can only develop love for Krishna to the extent I've learned how to love his devotees. Prabhu, I can't stand you, but I love Krishna. Doesn't work. Is it? Doesn't work. Krishna says, you know, Krishna tells Arjuna, yeme bhakta jana pratha, yeme bhakta jana. He says, one who is my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to be the devotee of Krishna, Prabhu, you only got one choice. You have to become the devotee of Krishna's devotees. Not just some of them. Well, I'll be devotee of these here, but not these over here. No. You have to be devotee of all of Krishna's devotees. And then he goes, okay, you're one of my men. Come back to Godhead. So we have to worship these great transcendentalists, you see. They're all worshipable. They're great sannyasis, you see, our great GBCs, our great brahmacharis, our great madhajis, you see, our great, all these children. Everyone is a great transcendentalist. We have to see them. Prabhupada actually said that he told us in Vrindavan during that nectar devotion seminars, the spiritual master sees Krishna, not that I am spiritual master, but Krishna has sent me so many spiritual masters. So that is our vision. These are our masters. These are our Prabhus. Everybody is my Prabhu. Sannyasis are my Prabhus. The Manajis are my Prabhus. You see, the Brahmacharis, everyone, they're all my masters. They're all my Prabhus. You see. So I have to serve them. How can I please them? How can I make them happy? How can I see that they're happy in Krishna consciousness? You see. The more you can see that others are happy in Krishna consciousness, the more you become absolutely ecstatic. So always try to see how you can enliven and enthuse the other devotees to be Krishna conscious. More and more and more and more and more, you see. That's how this movement would spread, you see. We create an atmosphere of love where we're all trying to see that all the devotees are happy. Then the whole world will come, because then I'm sure what everybody is trying to make everybody else miserable. They become happy. Paradukha Sukhi. I become happy when I see that you are miserable. Actually, one of my godbrothers, Gokula Manjanapra, he gave a class one time in Atlanta years and years ago. He remembered his parents one afternoon sitting out on Long Island in the backyard, sipping martinis, saying, "I wonder how the poor people are doing today. Ha ha ha." You see? So, this is a movement where we feel great distress to see the unhappiness of others. There's that famous pastime of Prabhupada here in Mayapur. He saw the children fighting with the dogs for scraps of food from the devotees' throwaway. The Prabhupada was just crying, and that's when he started our Food for Life. He called it ISKCON Food Relief, as the original name. Because he couldn't see children fighting with dogs for scraps of food. It just tore Prabhupada's heart apart, you see. So we have to feel compassion on all the, not only, it shouldn't be just here in this festival, we have to think about the whole world, how much they're suffering. And just think, what can I do? How can we flood this planet with Prabhupada? How can we attract them to take up this process? We just have to be, you know, brainstorming day and night how to make the whole world Krishna conscious, because these people are miserable. They're going down to the animal kingdom, their next birth. So in this way, this kind of move would be very favorable. We got time for one more question, it looks like.
Is the Mataji back there with a question?
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, it's very easy to maintain this kind of a mood amongst devotees who reciprocate and are favorable. But the challenge comes when we're dealing with people who are tough, people who provoke us, and people who are difficult to deal with. How do we deal with such situations without losing our cool and continuing in the mood?
When someone mistreats you, how do you keep that same mood of compassion when you're being abused and mistreated? That requires a very serious cultivation of Krishna consciousness. We see the perfect example in Lord Jesus Christ. He was being crucified and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So that's, it's very, what you're asking about is a very, very difficult thing to do. When someone's abusing you, someone's exploiting you, how to have an attitude of mercy and kindness to that person. So there are various techniques that can help one to do that. One thing is you have to understand, this person is simply delivering to me, they're the messenger delivering to me the reactions from my previous abuse and exploitation of others. The law of karma is acting here. I abused someone in the past, now that abuse is coming back to me. This person is simply the DHL man delivering me my karma for the previous abuse and exploitation that I did of other people. So actually, this person is blessing me. He's helping me to get relief from the reactions from my past sinful activities. So I should be thanking him. Thank you very much. That's one technique. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's famous prayer is there, to be more taller than the tree. Note in Lord Chaitanya's verse that this is what is required to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. If you get overwhelmed with anger or the mood of retaliation, if somebody abuses you, all you're doing is you're cutting yourself off from the holy, cutting yourself off from the holy name. So one has to be a little intelligent, you see? One has to look out for their own spiritual self-interest and realize, hey, I'm going to get carried away with a retaliatory mood here. Let me just, you know, philosophically detach myself from this thing, see it through the eyes of Scripture, so I can go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, with ever-increasing relish. So it looks like our time is up, and I thank you all so much. I'm delighted so many of you were here today. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya.